What's going on, babe? Welcome to Evolved. My name is Coach Christine, women's online health and fitness coach, personal development junkie, and just an overall badass babe. My mission is to help women just like you who struggle with overwhelm in their health and fitness, want to get rid of the muffin top, ditch the binge eating, and get back under 200 pounds for good. On this podcast, I'll be dropping weekly episodes discussing a variety of topics, including mindset, self-worth, healing, relationships, health and fitness, to help you fit back into those jeans you've held on to for years. Wherever you are in your journey, babe, come as you are. The Badass Babe Squad is here to support. Now let's get into it. So welcome. We're talking about resistance training and what you need to change in your program. And I've been coaching for about 8 years now, just online for 3 years. I worked in a gym for years in between there too. And the biggest thing that I hear from ladies, what they want, like when they're getting started with their health and fitness or, you know, whatever, some things that like the key words I hear are like they want to be toned, they want to lose weight, they want their clothes to fit better, you know, more energy, more confidence, less pain, like those things. But the biggest one that I hear is like, I want to be toned, or like, I want to feel confident in like a tank top, you know, you want to have nice looking arms, like that kind of thing. But then the thing that they focus on is cardio, or like HIIT cardio, or burning calories, like essentially. And that's one of the biggest downfalls that I see for a few reasons. One being, if you're focusing on like just burning calories, you're not going to do anything to retain or build muscle mass in combination with proper nutrition. And Kylie talked to you guys about nutrition last night. And like, I'm assuming she covered the importance of protein and how it helps to build muscle or keep like retain your muscle, especially when you're in a calorie deficit. So eating adequate food for your goals in combination with a resistance training program. And by resistance training, to clarify what I mean, like using weights, not focusing on like HIIT cardio, like high intensity interval training cardio is what HIIT stands for. So not focusing on that, but focusing on resistance training. And then using heavy enough weights that it's like hard for you, right? So we focus on cardio. And as women, like cardio is stressful on our body. Like think of it, HIIT, high intensity interval training, high intensity. It's stressful on your body. We as women, Lord knows, like show of hands, who has enough stress in their life already without adding in like high intensity cardio into their life, right? Me, I do. You guys can type it in the chat if you agree. But what that does is it introduces more stress into your system, which jacks up your, Kristen's hand up, jacks up your cortisol in your body, right? And we're probably all already like running on caffeine and our last ponytail and like Jesus take the wheel type shit over here probably. And caffeine also like elevates our cortisol in our body too. So we're so like run ragged and jacked up on caffeine. And then we're trying to force ourselves through, you know, 45 minutes of HIIT cardio because that's what we think that we need to do to burn calories so that we can lose weight, when cortisol is just going to like, it elevates the stress in your body. And it's like, it will store fat in your body. Like it doesn't do you any favors to have too high of cortisol. You can actually end up going into like adrenal fatigue from that too, from too much caffeine and too much stress in your life, which is something to be wary of. But Sandra, preach. Yes. Testify. Mm-hmm. So this is like the biggest mistake that I see women make. And they focus on like exactly like how many calories they can burn. And I can see why, because it's sort of like it gamifies it for you. Because there's a number you can see, like, oh yeah, like if I eat this sleeve of Oreos, it's this many calories. And then if I just do that much cardio extra tomorrow, it'll like erase the sin. Well, that's the mentality I was in anyways. I would end up binge eating and then I would like think, like, how many calories do I have to burn to recover from this? And then I'd go do my cardio in the morning before anyone else was up, my shame cardio, as I like to call it. But that kept me fat and unhappy. And then we don't make the progress that we want to see. And then we rack it up as another failure. So I'm here tonight to tell you guys about, first thing I wanted to talk about is, like, what does toned actually mean? Because when someone says toned to me, I'm like, or I want to get toned. I'm like, okay, cool. Toning is like a printing thing. Like, to me, that's not a thing. Toning doesn't, like, I get what you mean, but really what it is you have to have muscle mass on you. You have to have some muscle tissue. And then when you lose fat, your muscle tissue presses against the skin and it gives you a toned look. But if you have too much fat on your body, you won't see your muscle tone. And if you have no muscle, then you'll end up looking like what we talked about on night one was like skinny fat, where you lose a lot of weight and you lose all of your muscle mass too, because muscle weighs more than fat. You end up like, a lot of women will eat like 1200 calories, which is way too steep of a deficit for most people, unless you weigh like 100 pounds. And we lose fat, we lose muscle, we end up like looking kind of like a limp noodle. Like, there's no tone. Like, the toned look that you guys want isn't there because you haven't kept the muscle or you haven't built the muscle on your body. And so this is why we do resistance training in the Badass Babe Squad, because it helps to build your muscle mass by lifting weights. And then as you lose fat, your muscle is going to show through, which gives you the toned look that we all want, right? So that is, like, to me, that's what toning is. Toning, you have to have a base of muscle on your body. You need to have muscle tissue and then lose the fat. The muscle shows through. Voila, tone. Does that make sense to everyone? Y'all still with me? Type it in the chat or like nod your head if you're still with me. Lisa's like, yeah, fuck yeah. I know what toned means. I'm toned. I love it. Cool. Okay. Another quick lesson for you guys on body composition and the scale. And this might blow some of your minds. I posted a picture, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, of me like the day before that, the day before I posted it, and also about a year and a half or so prior to that. In the first, like the quote unquote before picture, I weighed about 181 pounds. In the quote unquote after picture, like the current picture, I weighed about 182 pounds. I was heavier on the scale in the second picture. But in the second picture, my body is physically smaller and more toned looking. What that means, I lost fat, I gained muscle. My body is smaller and more toned, like more defined, more muscular looking, but weighed more. And I think that's one of the things that we don't understand either, or why we get frustrated sometimes and throw in the towel and be like, this isn't working, when really it is, but we're too ashamed, too embarrassed to take a progress picture. So we won't take the picture to start. And then we don't notice the progress that we're making in like our physique changes, how we're firming up, how we're losing inches. And the scale stays the same, because if I had a handful of muscle tissue and I had a handful of fat tissue and they were the exact same size, the muscle tissue is going to weigh more than the fat because it's more dense, right? It would be like, if you had a cup full of rocks versus same size cup full of feathers, right? How they're the same volume, but the rocks are heavier than the feathers because they're more dense. Same thing goes with muscle tissue versus fat. Like, muscle tissue is more dense, so it weighs more. So that is why sometimes you can lose fat, gain muscle, especially like if you're kind of getting back into it or you're new to working out, it's like newbie gains. You can gain muscle, lose fat, the scale won't move because you're gaining muscle, losing fat, so your body's staying approximately the same weight, or it won't move the amount that you think it should have, the effort that you put in. And then you throw in the towel because you haven't taken the picture, you haven't taken your measurements because you're too disgusted with yourself, and then throw in the towel and you quit when really you're making progress. It's just that the only thing in your mind that was progress to you was you wanted that number that was in between your feet when you look down in the morning to go down. because that's what we are conditioned to think is progress as women. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. Like, the number on the scale doesn't define your progress, and it doesn't define your worth as a human either. It is simply a metric that we use basically to know how much to feed you. Like, that's what I use it for. Your body weight combined with like your height, your age, your activity level, that sort of thing is what we use as coaches to like decide how much to feed you. And even from there, we need to sometimes like play with it a little bit, like run a number, stay consistent with it for a week or two, see how your body responds. We might have to take some away. We might have to give you a bit more and then keep going and adjusting from there to get the results that you want. Lesson on body composition. So what you can do is like, it's called like recomposition. So you're losing fat, gaining muscle, changing up your body composition. Your body's going to weigh the same or maybe even more, but be physically smaller. And like, that's what I hear from ladies all the time is like, I want my clothes to fit better. I want more energy. I want less pain. I want more strength. I want to lose weight. I want to get toned. The way to do it is through resistance training. As you strengthen your muscles around your joints, what do you think is going to happen? Like, you're going to feel stronger. You're going to have, your joints are going to hurt less because they're stronger. You're probably going to lose some weight. You're going to lose some inflammation in your joints too, which is going to feel a lot better for you. Your clothes are going to fit better because your body's going to be physically smaller. So you don't have to keep picking your waistband like out of your muffin top, that type of a thing. And so resistance training, the way to do that. Here's the other mistake I see people make. Once they like understand that, okay, yeah, like resistance training is the way, they get bored. So I used to have this struggle with women. I explain it a lot better now when someone's coming in to like work one-on-one with us as coaches in the Badass Babe Squad. I explain it a little bit better as to the why behind it, because I think that we think we need like the newest fandangle, you know, workout, when there's a reason that like people still do push-ups. There's a reason that people still do squats. There's a reason that people still do, you know, deadlifts. Like, these basic moves work. You don't need to be doing some kind of like swinging from the rafters, doing 3 jumping jacks and a backflip, whatever else. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. You don't need to be doing that. And likely most of us are probably either too big to do the shit that like a lot of we see on like workout videos or even like influencers on social media. We're either too big and like just can't physically do it or shouldn't be because it's going to hurt our joints, or it's just like not, it's not something that we should be doing. We're going to get hurt. We're not used to doing those things. And so starting with the basics, and when you commit to doing a workout program, like running the same training program for 8 weeks, you could even run it longer, like 16 weeks. You could do the same training program essentially for like a year and still make progress. But when you commit to that, not only are you going to like learn the move and perfect the technique so that you can really get stronger and so you can prevent injury, but you're also going to learn like how to do it efficiently too. And you'll get to the point where you don't even have to like look at the app anymore. You just have your training program in your head and you know what to do. And it's super time efficient too, because you're not like going back and forth. That's the thing about like switching up your training program or always wanting to do different workouts too, is you never get like to a point where you're settled in it. And then you're having to like look at your phone or watch a video or something like that. And you can't actually pay attention and get like the mind-muscle connection in your workout, because you're consistently like looking at your phone. And then we all know what we do when we look at our phone, right? We go, oh, a notification. Oh, my kid messaged me. Oh, Tinder messages. Like, look at this. And then we're distracted and we're not actually present in our workout, right? And this is like, you guys, like half an hour tops is really all you need. But we turn it into this like 2-hour thing. And then all of a sudden we don't have time to work out because it's this big long thing. When if you just went and you knew what you were doing and you just executed and stayed off your phone, you could be out of there in like 45 minutes, hour tops, and be done and carry on with your day. And like 3 times a week, fam, is all we really need, unless you're competing in a fitness show or like you're a bikini model or something like that. Most of us as like 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old women, we don't need to be hitting the gym 7 times a week. In fact, it's probably more detrimental to us to do that. Like 3 to 5 times, amazing. If you can get 3 in and you can keep your nutrition on track and get like the emotional binge eating curbed, you're way, way ahead of the game than if you're trying to force yourself to go 5 to 7 times and then beating yourself up because you didn't make it on the 7th day. Making sense? Landing for you? I love it. Perfect. Cool. Okay. So the other thing with random workouts, besides everything I just said, it gets you random results. Like if you're trying to get bigger shoulders, we'll say, because I am.
Me too.
You got to like train your shoulders. And so if you're like randomly doing like some booty workout that you saw that some influencers doing, and then the next day you're trying to do like their beach abs or something like that, and then the next day you're doing something else, like you're never going to progress. And progressive overload is what builds muscle. And let me tell you what I mean by that, because I'm sure probably some of you are like, what the fuck is progressive overload? Progressive overload is what we focus on in the Badass Babe Squad as we are training. So what I mean by that, a few things. When I said mind-muscle connection earlier, who knew what I meant? Like when you actually are like present in your workout and you can like feel the muscle contracting and like you're thinking about that intentional muscle that you're supposed to be using, which is one cool thing about the app also, because it like tells you right in there what you're training. But I digress. The progressive overload, if you can focus and have like mind-muscle connection, then what we want to focus on is, let's say, since I'm talking about getting bigger shoulders, let's say I'm doing lateral raises. And like when I first started doing lateral raises, so a lateral raise is like when your arm is coming straight out to the side and it's going to hit that medial head of your shoulder. So you're lifting it up out to the side. When I first started doing those, I think I used 5 pounds, like years ago when I first started training. I could use 5 pounds and I could do 10 reps. And that was like hard for me. Now, because I've focused on progressive overload for years, so I still do lateral raises. Standing lateral raises, a basic B exercise, straight up out to the side. I use 22.5 pounds and I do about 15 reps and about 3 sets, give or take, and some other shoulder stuff too. But like what you need to do is you need to push yourself in your workout. Like you shouldn't be, your face should be like, you know, like there should be strain. You should see veins, like your ligaments in your neck should be sticking out at some point. Like you're not going to look pretty. That's not what resistance training is about. Like it's about pushing yourself hard, like, and getting used to doing hard things, right? And that's why it helps us to get mentally tough too, because we push through the hard. So it helps us in other areas of our life. But let's say you start, like when I first started and I was using 5 pounds and doing 10 reps, then maybe after like a month of doing that, because I've been running my training plan with the same basic exercises, maybe after a month, I can do 15 reps with that same 5 pounds. So once I can get to like the top of my prescribed rep range, because I work with a coach still, even as a coach all the time, then I'm going to pick up a heavier weight. So maybe I use 8 pounds next, and I use 8 pounds, and maybe I can only do 8 reps when I first start using 8 pounds because it's heavier. So I'm getting fatigued sooner. But then maybe after a couple of weeks, I can do 10 reps. And then a couple weeks more, I can do, you know, 12 reps. And then eventually I move up to 10 pounds and then I'm using 10 pounds and maybe I'm back to 8 reps. And then in another month or two, I can do 12 reps, you know, and then maybe I'm moving up to 12 pounds. Like, you guys get what I mean by progressive overload? So the amount that that particular muscle is moving, the volume gets more, because if you're doing 5 pounds times 10 reps, that's 50 pounds total, right? 5 times 10 is 50. If you're doing 10 pounds times 10 reps, that's 100. I like had to check my math in my head real quick. That's 100. So you're doing twice the amount of volume when you're doing, you know, 10 pounds instead of 5. So using that theory of progressive overload in every exercise that you do, And now also understanding that different muscle groups can move different amounts of weight, right? Like mass moves mass, ass moves mass. So your legs, for example, have a lot bigger muscles in them. You're going to be able to squat heavier than you can do a lateral raise with. And it's about like finding a good amount of weight for you that works for what you need so that you're not like, if you're supposed to do 10 reps of something, let's say you're supposed to do 10 reps of squats and you're doing front rack squats with two dumbbells here by your shoulders and you are doing 5 pounds here. You could likely, if you can squat full range of motion and everything and you're using 5 pounds, you could probably do heavier because you're using your legs. And your legs, most of us have, as women, we just have big legs. They're muscular usually too in there. So you could probably pick up some heavier weights and you probably should pick up some heavier weights. If it's not challenging you by the end, like if you're supposed to do 10 reps and you could do 20 or 30, heavier weights, babe, pick them up, push yourself. And like within reason, you know yourself best. And obviously I don't want to encourage anyone to do more than they could and injure themselves. You know yourselves best. So if 5 pounds is super easy and you can do like 20 reps, get heavier weights. Add in a band. You can get bands on Amazon for like dirt cheap for a set. And there's so many ways you can add in resistance bands if you don't have heavier dumbbells. So with your dumbbells to make things harder for you. Make sense? But pushing yourselves, I love it. And that's how you get stronger. Because if you're not like physically exerting yourself to the point where like you feel a burn in your muscles, it's not, you're not getting the full effect. You picked up heavier weights and you pushed yourselves a little bit harder, you'd see better results. And I just trained with a friend before this. I don't like training legs, honestly. It's not my jam. I hate doing like single-sided things. I hate doing lunges. I hate doing split squats, all of it. Don't like it. I just trained with a friend before this and I'm having a hard time sitting down right now. So another way to like ensure your training, you know, and to have someone encourage you too, actually is helpful. Because as I was like doing my squats and he was like, one more, you got another one, come on. I was like, yeah, I probably do have another one. Where if it was just me, I'd have been like, no, I'm good. So get a training partner too is super helpful. Super helpful. One for like them to encourage you, but also for just like, it's more fun sometimes with somebody else. So that's another way to get a training partner. Yeah. And then I don't have any questions so far. Nobody. Cool. Yeah. Other than that, like eating enough. I wasn't at the nutrition training last night, so I don't know really what Callie talked to you guys about, but I'm sure it was amazing. But what I wanted to say just like quickly to sort of wrap up like resistance training is a little bit of nutrition around it. One, you need to be eating enough to be fueling your body in your resistance training sessions and like getting enough protein in too, because protein has the amino acids in it, which are like the building blocks of like muscle tissue. And so eating like at least 100 grams of protein, you know what, for calories for you guys, roughly, if you're not working with a coach and like you're like, what should I be eating for calories? If your goal is weight loss, if you take like your goal weight, if it's within like 20 pounds of where you're at right now, if your goal weight is less than that, then like, let's say you weigh 250 pounds and your goal weight is just to get under 200, we'll say. That's, you know, what I'm fucking good at, by the way. Your goal weight is to get under 200 pounds. I wouldn't like start with your goal at 200. I would start with like a goal of like 230. So essentially, if you take your weight, take your goal weight, 20 pounds less than that, times by about 10, that's roughly how many calories you likely could be eating. It would be a great place to start. Get consistent with tracking your nutrition so you can sort of see where you're at and see how your body responds at that amount of calories. If you want to be losing weight and you're not, take 100 off. Try that. See how it goes. And like keep up with your resistance training. But eating your carbohydrates around your workout on your workout days is going to help you. It's going to help with your energy in the gym, and that's going to help with your recovery too. So if you can eat like 50 to 75% of your carbohydrates for the day like sandwich your workout with them. So have it before you work out, about like 30-ish% of your carbs for the day with like 30 grams of protein. And then afterwards, after your workout, have the other like 30% of your carbs for the day after your workout with like 30 grams of protein. That's going to help you too. And it's going to help with like muscle soreness. It's going to help with your energy when you are in the gym. And then it's going to help with like your recovery too afterwards, along with like stretching, foam rolling, adequate hydration. As Kylie's pounding her water, I'm like focused on her drinking and not what the word is that I need to say. Adequate hydration. And I guess while we're talking about muscle soreness, Epsom salt baths is going to help you too. So like magnesium as a supplement is helpful. And if you are drinking like a lot of water, you can actually like flush the electrolytes out of your body. So it's important to like be salting your food. I think so many of us are afraid of salt when it's helpful for you because it actually like helps to keep the water in your body. And it helps with like electrolyte balance and stuff like that. So adequate nutrition to be fueling yourself through the resistance training, because the last thing that we want is you to feel like you can't fight your way out of a wet paper bag when you are in the gym trying to work out. Like that's not fun. And then you don't want to go back because you're super sore afterwards because you didn't have like the recovery after either, because you're eating 1200 calories because that's what your best friend Betty Sue told you to do because that's what she's doing. Make sense? Cool. Well, I love it. Who's been doing the workouts in the app? I know some of you are like in the squad and you're crushing the workouts. We've got Becky, show of hands over there. I love it. You guys loving them? Is it fun? Having a good time? Is the app super handy?
Pretty interesting when my kids want to join in, especially when he wants to play with my belly button.
Yeah, I saw your saw your video this morning.
Yeah.
Or your picture. Cute. Get your kids involved though. Like that's what I used to do. I used to do Zoom workouts in the squad. We still, Coach Christy does workouts now live in the group, in the client community. But I used to do them in Zoom when I first like started online when COVID first happened, because I was actually working in a gym before that. And then when the world shut down, I got laid off. I still obviously had all these clients that like, especially in that time, it was like, okay, well, we need something to do. We're all trapped at home. Like I need to burn some energy. I need to stay fit. So I was like, well, let's do Zoom workouts. So that's like how I started doing Zoom workouts. But I had my kids at home with me too. And I like, there's three of them. What do I do? And so often they would come and do like the Zoom workouts with me. So the, and some of the clients' kids too. I remember Jamie's son often was like in there with him, with her too. There'd be like people holding their babies while they're squatting. I was like, who needs kettlebells when you have a 60-pound child to hold?
I've used him for weight.
Yeah, get the kids involved. Why not? And then it shows them that like you're prioritizing your health and fitness too. And it's going to set them up for better, like better health and fitness as adults if they see you prioritizing yours.
Yeah, like, my two youngest ones, they like to do it. They try. My oldest one looks at me like I'm crazy. He's 13 and he's lazy.
13 knows more than you.
Yeah, that's exactly where he's at.
We used to have a rule too, where they had to do some form of physical exercise before they could play video games. And it was like every, can't remember what we had, but it was like a time frame where it was like every half hour of exercise got you like an hour of video games or something like that. You got to make them work for it. You want the Wi-Fi password? Get on the air bike.
Yeah.
Legit.
Never thought about that, actually.
Yeah, I'm full of good ideas. Okay, well, really, that's all I had for you guys. I hope that it was like helpful and you guys learned something. And I hope that you don't prioritize doing cardio anymore. When I say cardio, when I'm like, I did my cardio today, I go on the treadmill and I put it at an incline of like, you know, 30 degrees and put it at, I don't know if it's miles per hour or kilometers, but like a decent walking pace. It's like 3.2 that I put it at. And I walk for like half an hour. That's my cardio. And like, that's when I give cardio to clients. That's all it often ever is. It's because anything that's like more than that, unless you are like a long distance runner and you're trying to improve that, then I would like focus on cardio with you more. But otherwise, just walking, like focusing on getting 10,000 steps. And your guys' challenge for the day, if you're in the challenge, was to get to like 5 to 10 minute walks in. If you can focus on that every day, especially if you can do it after you eat a meal, It's going to be beneficial because it helps, like, moving your body after you eat is going to help with your digestion. It also helps with your blood sugar because you are getting that movement in. Your body doesn't produce, because then your body starts using it right away, and your body doesn't have to produce as much insulin, which is like a fat storage hormone. It doesn't have to produce as much insulin to bring your blood sugar back down again. Because when we eat food, like carbohydrates, it's sugar, you know, sugar is a carb in our body. Not a bad thing, what it's supposed to do, but then it elevates our blood sugar. So then our body has to produce insulin to bring the blood sugar back down. So if you can help your body with having to produce less insulin, you are also less likely to become insulin resistant, which a lot of people who eat a lot of shitty food become insulin resistant, and then they become diabetic and have to take insulin. And just prioritizing that movement in the day is going to like burn like sneaky calories like behind the scenes just by like working at getting 10K steps in a day. While I'm talking about blood sugar, my dad is diabetic. He has to give himself insulin. When I worked in the gym, I finally got him coming to the gym, and he would just come and he'd like go on the bike, watch like I'd put on combine videos on YouTube for him on the display, and he'd sit there and he'd watch his tractor videos and he'd just bike. I forget exactly what the amount was, but just by coming and going and doing like 20 minutes on a bike, 20 minutes to sometimes he'd be there an hour or whatever, depends how interesting the combine video was. But he cut his insulin down by like 2/3 the amount of insulin that he was giving himself. And that was all that he changed. Like, he might have been eating a tiny bit healthier and watching his carbs, which is like what a diabetic needs to watch. He might have been watching his carbs a little bit more, like a tiny bit, not a lot, because he's like, I'm 70 some years old and I'm living my best life. I'm going to eat what I want and just give myself insulin to fix it afterwards. Quote unquote, fix it. Yeah, dad's diabetic. So is my mom now too. And yeah, he cut, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was like 2/3 the amount less insulin that he was giving himself each day. So that means just by adding in that exercise, it helped his body to bring his blood sugar levels down, because his body doesn't produce insulin anymore. He has to give himself insulin. So by adding in that little bit of walking, that little bit of movement, it helped to bring his blood sugar down so that he didn't have to give himself insulin. Reading the comments. Went to the grocery store and I didn't buy myself any garbage snacks in spite of being hungry. Yeah, guys, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. That's a bad news bears if you go grocery shopping when you are hungry. If you have any extra emotions, don't go to the grocery store. Cool. All right. Well, does anyone have any questions? Otherwise, I'd like to know your biggest takeaways. If I said something that really like blew your mind or made you chuckle or entertained you in some way. I like to entertain while I teach.
I did think of one question.
Yeah.
When you were saying about the lifting weights and stuff like that, starting off with 5 pounds,
mm-hmm.
I've tried 5 pounds and that's a little light for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations on me finding the perfect weight to start with?
Depends what exercise you're doing. Cause like I said, it's actually mass moves mass, but I like to say ass moves mass because I've got a lot of ass. So it depends what you're doing. Like if you're doing bicep curls or something like that, like probably 5 to 8 to 10 pounds is a great place to start. But if you're doing squats, for example, if you're a healthy-ish human that can do full range of motion squat and you start loading it with weight, you're going to be able to do a lot more because your legs are a lot bigger than your biceps. Like your bicep is like this couple little muscles in there, whereas your legs are like big muscles, so they can move a lot more weight. So depending what you're doing, I mean, ideally, if you can go to a gym, that's going to be like your best bet because they have like a wide range. If you are just trying to find stuff to do at home, something is better than nothing. So anything that you can do, but like pick up a kid, pick up a dog, pick up the laundry soap. Like, I don't know if you don't have access to it, but
my dogs wouldn't like that too much.
You got to do what you got to do. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Really Rima, look at your family there. Cute. Got some overhead presses going on. Slay. Cute.
Got any tips?
She's doing fantastic.
He's a boy.
Oh, come on. My apologies. People call my daughter a boy all the time. I just assumed by the tie-dye shirt.
This is my oldest. He's 15. and he's in a weightlifting class. So
nice. Amazing.
Look at that.
Look at your guns. Woo! You gotta rip the shirt off.
But he's so skinny. He doesn't eat. Tell him he needs to eat.
You gotta eat more, man.
Well, you might.
You gotta eat more and get big and juicy muscles. That's so much though. Like, especially young boys, their metabolism is so high. Kids in general have a higher metabolism, but for some people, for some kids, it's hard to put mass on because they just don't eat enough. And then their metabolism is so high. So you can keep working out and like that will help. And it builds healthy habits too, to have that habit of exercising, but you gotta like eat a lot to fuel them growing boy bodies. Super proud of you, Mama Rima, for getting them exercising. Good job.
If I sit on my phone, I have to be walking. So.
I love it. Lisa's out of here. Enjoy. Enjoy the Christmas decorating. Cool. Well, if nobody has any other questions, then we're good to go. I can leave you guys with that. I'll post the replay up for everyone else who couldn't join us tonight. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. For a wrap up, we're going to put this all together for you guys. Sound good? Amazing. I love you all. Have the best night of your lives. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Evolved. If you got value today, you can show me some love by screenshotting this episode and tag me on Instagram at xteencardenas and let me know your biggest takeaway. If you want to work with me to hit your goals, shoot me a message while you're sharing and let's get the convo started. Until next time, much love.